Hello? Hello? Hello, who's on the line?
Hello?
Hello, you're coming through very weakly, but that's not surprising, considering you are human. You'll have to speak up.
You know us humans, how fucked up we are.
Well, yes, indeed, but I do blame myself to some certain extent. You're kind of like a retarded son who has to be punished continually to be taught.
And what's my, what's your method of punishment?
You are coming through abysmally poor. I can barely hear a word you're saying. I'm about to tear your lungs out through the phone. You'll have to shout at the top of your lungs before I do destroy them.
Okay, is that better?
That's better.
So what's happening, Odorous?
Well, I just got back from my acting lesson from Arnold Schwarzenegger. We're going to be doing a big movie with Danny DeVito, and I'm really looking forward to it. The whole thing, I'm getting millions of dollars, of course, and I'm being paid in a 9-ton crack boulder.
What's the movie going to be called?
I don't know. I haven't even seen the script.
You haven't even
I just lied about that whole thing. See how you were tricked by me? By implying that me and Arnold Schwarzenegger are somehow some kind of homosexual butt-buddy team, then I will do that. Nothing is too low for me, you must understand.
Well, I've heard Arnold kind of likes it up the ass, you know?
Well, Arnold does like it up the ass. He likes it in the ear as well. Indeed, our first sexual encounter ended with his death, but I have resurrected him, and I do believe it's helped his line delivery.
Have you ever poked out his eye and fucked his eye socket?
Well, no, I find that kind of pleasure a little too banal for my devious taste. Socket fucking, it just wouldn't fit anyway. Half of his skull would come off.
So, how long have you guys been on the road?
Oh, I don't know. It seems like an eternity now. Every night is another blood-drenched horror of a glutting of souls. These Americans are flocking in waves of death, kind of like a Japanese bonsai charge, to our shows and to our giant whirling death machines. My whole life just seems to be an endless, repetition of slaughter, violence, sex, and death, and quite frankly, I'm happy.
Don't you get sick of it?
Excuse me?
Don't you get sick of all the violence and death and all that shit?
Well, if there was something more fun to do, you know, I would be doing it, but there really isn't anything better to do. I am searching endlessly for the most rare of beings, the blue-blooded American, but it all seems to be red inside. Now, the human race, of course, must be destroyed, and this is one of my many goals. Muddled as they may be, I'm going to pursue them tirelessly, even if they are for no apparent reason.
Actually, I'd like to, first of all, congratulate you guys on the success of your latest record. It's doing extremely
well. Why, thank you very much. That's a very, very useful thing to say. It's very good to play up to my ego.
How do you guys go about writing the material for the record?
We had this gigantic Sleazy P bought it for us, Sleazy P Martini being our manager, the only human cool enough to hang out with Guar, mostly because of his fiberglass hairdo. Now, we have this gigantic computer he bought for us back in Antarctica in the dungeon. And you see, we just program into the computer rock album, and it spits out the CD right there. And it's the whole thing is done for you already. But we don't feel that we're cheating ourselves artistically because it was our money that bought the computer, so we feel pretty good about that.
So with having that machine, you guys should be churning out
Hold
like
on,
five or six
moment,
albums a year.
Please. Hello, hello?
Yes, yes.
I'm sorry, the entire wall just fell down.
Having that computer should enable you guys to turn out.
They break so easily. They're trying to set up for our show here tonight, and then the PA column is falling down, and my flat has just farted, and half the building is in flames here. Anyway, the show must go on.
I was saying, having that computer
Oh, my God. Hello, hello?
Yes.
What is your next question? I go tired of this insipid monotony.
What songs on the latest album are your favorites?
Excuse me, the songs? Well, they're all my favorite, goddammit. I wrote all of them. I conceived all of them. But I must say, the one that made us the most money is probably Sick of You, due to our big contest that we have every night. And during the Sick of You song, we actually bring up one of the lucky audience members on stage where they are ground alive. Of course, the rest of the audience is turned into pulped cans of Guar dog food. This entire scheme has made us millions of dollars and has advanced my own gay whim 3,000-fold.
How do you go about writing your lyrics?
I throw sharpened humans at a huge dartboard.
And that inspires you for most of the lyrics?
Hung with vowels and various phrases. I don't know. Sometimes I'll just be sitting on the toilet and something will come to me. Something will come on me. I'll scrape it off, throw it on the floor, and read something into it.
How about a song off the first album called I'm in Love with a Dead Dog? Tell me about the inspiration for that one.
Well, that was a particular instance back when one night we were flying to the next gig in the bat-shaped helicopter, and of course the slaves were trying to make their way to the next show, lugging our great amps and fly bespeckled armored suits in the moldering remains of an old school bus, which is what we forced the Guar slaves to drive around in abject misery the whole time. Of course, there is no engine in the bus. They have to push it everywhere. And I was almost, if it was possible for Odorous to feel pity, I was almost feeling pity for them. So what I did is I disguised myself in human form and rode with the slaves to a Guar show. And on the way to the show, we struck a large dog. It was killed and run over horribly and thrown into a ditch on the side of the road. The slaves clambered out of the bus, and they were going to eat it. But as I saw its yawning, glistening anal cave, out of which its intestines were bulging, I knew then that I was in love. So I took, I shed the mortal form that I was hiding in at that point and slaughtered all the slaves and took that dog back home with me. And that dog became my wife, Pookie. Pookie the Wonder Dog, who has withstood many an anal impalement, but unfortunately the very matter of her body ultimately collapsed, and we were forced to shellac her and nail her to the drum set.
Before that happened, did the dog bear any children?
Unfortunately not, because you see, everything I touch dies.
Oh, okay.
It did take a shit, though, and we enshrined that in a place of great honor.
I heard your current tour had to be stopped because Balsack became a father. Is that true?
Well, it is very true, yes. We were touring these parts of the world last year, and Balsack, for many years, we had thought it was just a pus sack hanging off of his face. But indeed, it turned out to be an egg pod, and right in the middle of the show, it burst, and this diseased creature burst forth from his face, dripping with molten pus, and we were very pleased with its many mutations. It, of course, smashed a hole in the wall and ran into the night, spreading disease and hatred, and we haven't seen it since. But maybe at the next Guar show it'll turn up. Of course, when this happened, we immediately canceled our tour for no particular reason.
Did he come up with a name for this small sack?
Yes, the ball sack's child was called Small Sack.
Was it?
Yes.
That's kind of what I figured.
We'll see what happens when it comes back. It'll probably grow into something extremely large, and then that name really won't fit anymore. We'll probably have to fight it and rip its arms off.
How about the tune off the first album called Captain Crunch? What motivated you to write that?
Excuse me, what? What? Speak up!
How about the tune Captain Crunch off the first album? What motivated you to write that one?
I really don't know. I think it was a golfing expedition to the plains of the abyss with the rotting carcass of Burl Ives.
I thought you might have had a wet dream envisioning a Captain Crunch
commercial. I don't know. My whole life is a wet dream.
Okay. How about the tune Slaughterama? That seems to be the most popular tune on our station. Can you
well,
that
say is,
about
of course,
that?
About a game show that we've been trying to get into syndication for some time now, but for the, you know, the American networks are so lame. Even though it's a big hit in Europe, they won't let it on TV over here, so we are forced to release it in the album format. Of course, we do reenact the Slaughterama show every night at the Guar cannibalistic death orgies, and indeed here in Portland tonight we will be doing the same thing. Where are you calling from anyway, human?
Cleveland.
Cleveland! Oh, Cleveland is my favorite city. We cannot wait to get to Cleveland and slaughter all the humans there. For some reason, we have missed Cleveland every time.
We were kind of wondering what the fuck was going on.
Driving the humans in great masses into our whirling death machines, but Cleveland will not be missed this time, and I am looking forward to tearing your very city apart.
Yes, we are definitely looking forward to having you do that.
Well, very, very good, and well, you should. It will save you all that much more pain in the afterlife.
Have you guys ever had any trouble with the law while you guys are performing your live shows?
Well, you know, for a while, you know, the lawmen and the police and the National Guard and even the Army and the Air Force attempted to stop Guar with blatant means of, you know, firing bombs and shells and cannons, you know, and airplanes and rockets and all that kind of stuff. But hey, I can bite Nike missiles in half with my fangs. I mean, bullets just bounce right off. It doesn't do any good. So the police have resorted to more subtle measures to attempt to stop Guar. And what they've got now, they attempted to a part of my anatomy in Charlotte, North Carolina. Several police officers took me back to the station house after the show saying that we were going to do a bunch of confiscated crack. Well, somehow they got, I don't know what they put in that crack, but it just knocked me for a loop, let me tell you. And I was out. I mean, I was just dead out. When I woke up the next day, I was in a cell, and they had sawed my penis off, and this was very upsetting. I, of course, broke out immediately and slaughtered the entire police department, you know, but I could not find my penis anywhere. It was rumored that Tipper Guar was holding it. They made her give it back, though, and hid it somewhere, and I couldn't find it anywhere. But ultimately, I was relieved that I did grow another penis. Of course, there is the other penis is still out there somewhere, and I think it might be growing another Odorous out the end.
Are you offering?
So I'm not really quite sure. But to get back to your original question, I think I'll ignore it entirely.
Are you offering a reward for this missing penis?
Oh yes. Let me see. I'll gladly let anyone who brings me my missing penis have sex with a dead penguin.
How about the video that you guys just released? Where was that recorded at?
Yes, that was recorded in Antarctica. The show was attended by 20,000 penguins and about 100 humans who got right up front. You can see them on the video. Of course, there were some Russian scientists there, but mostly penguins.
Why the Russian scientists?
Well, there's a lot of Russian scientists hanging out down in Antarctica, you know.
So
I don't know what they're doing down there. Occasionally, you know, we'll go visit one of the research stations, you know, and slaughter everyone there, you know, all of the thing or whatever. But, you know, usually we just do it to steal their video cassettes.
So are you recruiting new GWAR women at each show?
Well, no, there can only be one GWAR woman, the untouchable mistress of the unplumped depths, Lymenstra Hyman. But, you know, we are always recruiting new female slaves to indulge in whatever sick pleasures our slaves may have in mind. Human women hold no appeal for me, though. I'm much more into animals, being the higher form of life on this planet.
What are your favorite animals?
Well, I went through my dog phase, and I went through my elephant phase, and I went through my dead emu phase. And right now I am dallying with the corpse of an 8-year-old have-you-seen-me-milk carton boy, but pretty much I'd have to say I'm single.
When you were with the elephants, were you going in the trunk or the ass?
Oh, anywhere, all over. We were just drilling holes into it with our reproductive organs. Finally, it just kind of looked like a huge piece of Swiss cheese with moltering, blubbery holes all over it. It just fell apart. It was an ugly mess.
What inspired the tune Black and Huge?
What about that, huh?
What inspired that tune?
Oh, well, that inspires Beefcake. That is very much inspired by Beefcake's peculiar habit of visiting the porno booths in Times Square, and indeed this one place that he likes to go where you can see a catfish suck a midget's dick. Now, Black and Huge, we are playing this in our show, and while we play it, we are showing a new film that we have made inspired by our pornographic experiences, and this new film is called Filthy Chunks. And it's a very, very interesting film, and we can't wait for the people of Cleveland to see it.
We're looking forward to seeing it. Have you guys ever been in any pornographic productions?
Indeed. The Filthy Chunk movie is my first starring role in a movie, and I believe the humans would probably pathetically label it as pornography, but, you know, where I come from, the planet Cholesterol, necrophilia is considered an art form. I kind of have a diplomatic immunity, you know, on this planet. After all, I am from outer space.
How about the tune Cool Place to Park?
Well, that involves our pathetic and helpless attempts at finding a place to park before any fucking GWAR show, you know? And mostly it has to do with the slaves and their bus, you know? It's kind of a song written for them and their endless tribulations and terrors, you know? Driving around and around the block, you can't find anywhere to park. Finally, you find someplace 8 blocks away. You have to load all the equipment down a half a mile of street, teeming with crack gangs and dangerous police officers. And all the while, GWAR is flying about their heads in the bat-shaped helicopter, defecating and vomiting on them at will. It's a hard life as a GWAR slave.
Somebody's got to do it, though.
Somebody's got to do it, yes. We cull many humans, kill many humans even, and we like to take them from art schools and jazzercise lounges.
How about one more tune, maybe, the song King Queen?
Oh, King Queen is an epic song. It's just about me, Odorous, my tragic, multicolored life, the many atrocities I have committed, and the great loves I have, and the great loves I have lost, and the great loves I have licked, and the many holes I have penetrated, and the maggots I found there, and pretty much how everything I love just seems to wither and die.
So that kind of
I don't know, it's kind of sad. It's lonely at the top.
So that song kind of coincides with the song Maggots, does it?
Oh, Maggots?
Yes.
Oh, well, that's another song. And you seem very interested in our music, human.
Oh, yes, I am.
But that is good, you know, because most people just put, you know, they just go, oh, yeah, GWAR, they're pretty wonderful. They slaughtered all my friends, you know, but, you know, you couldn't polka to them.
Well, I've been playing your music on the air ever since the first album came out, and lots of people have been polkaing to it, believe it or not.
Very good. Polka and GWAR kind of go hand in mailed fist, and I enjoy this. And but, you know, just because you are playing up to my great, you know, multi-talented, huge, multifaceted, colossal ego here doesn't mean that I'm going to go any easier on you when I finally do meet you and rip your balls off and shove them into my earlobes.
Well, I wouldn't expect you to.
Okay, GWAR. I don't want to disappoint you.
Okay. How about the opening track on the record?
The Salamanizer?
Yes.
I heard Jizmac babbling that word one night after a GWAR practice, and yes, it does happen. GWAR does practice. He was mumbling something about the Salamanizer and trying to insert the Chrysler Building up his ass. And I don't know really what came out of that. It has something to do with that and something to do with something else that I really don't know what it is. So we just made a song about it, and I don't know. We usually play the first thing in the set, and usually there's so many people dying that I don't even get a chance to sing the lyrics. So, but it's also kind of an ode to some of the humans who are helping Gwar achieve their goals. Especially that song is kind of dedicated to Eazy-E and N.W.A. because, you know, their continued insistence on people to shoot each other is helping Gwar a lot. You know, them and the the United States Army, Air Force, Marines, and the police officers, as much as they are imperfect humans and must die, they are still, in a way, being manipulated by Gwar to achieve our muddled goals.
What is the ultimate goal of Gwar?
Well, you know, if I tried to explain the ultimate goal of Gwar, it would be like trying to explain the very nature of the universe to the human, and in a nutshell, your brain would implode. But let me just say this, it is our destiny to slay the entire human race, to waken the world maggot, to destroy the planet Earth, and to return to the stars, where I plan to install Sleazy P. Martini as the master of all creation. Any more questions?
That answers the question pretty well.
Very good.
How about Vlap the Impaler?
Oh, well, that is a touching tune about our good buddy Vlad Dracul Tepes. You know, many centuries, Gwar was entombed in the Antarctic ice, but that did not stop us from roaming, manipulating, dominating, and sending the human race into all kinds of arenas of terror. Now, one of the favorite areas of the human race for me has always been the area of Transylvania, and Gwar used to hang out there quite a bit, and as a result, many legends were, you know, credited to other things, which were indeed, you know, Gwar, like the vampires, you know, the werewolves, all that kind of shit. It was all Gwar lurking about in the background, you know, but the humans would try to emulate our atrocity, and one of the humans who did this very well was Vlad Dracul Tepes. He was a count in the, a Wallachian count in the central Transylvanian Alps in the Middle Ages, and he was known for crucifying, actually impaling through the butthole, 20,000 of his own people in the path of an approaching army, just to freak them out, yes. And it worked pretty well, and we would hang out with Vlad and give him some of his ideas. So you can see that behind every Gwar song, there is a tremendous story of depravity, lost love, melancholia, and huge 9-ton crack rocks.
It must be incredible having such a fantastic
incredible
lifestyle.
Social, deep, searing message, you know?
Definitely.
You know, we're not irresponsible artists. Hold on a sec. What is going on here? There's a slave. It's bothering me. Yes, yes. Go be about your business. Very, very good. Very good. They must be disciplined so much.
I heard that you guys are going to be appearing on the Oprah Winfrey Show. Is this true?
Well, Oprah and me kind of had a bit of a tiff at a recent celebrity luncheon. I cut her tits off, and she didn't like that too much. You know, I told her she looked better when she was skinny. She whipped them out. My sword came out. The chop, the giant mammalian flesh was pouring everywhere, all into the roasted canape tray. I don't know. These Hollywood buffets are just too much for me. Everything's too fake, too superficial. I don't think we'll ever be back on TV. I don't want to be on TV. Everyone asks us, why aren't you on MTV? Why aren't you on the TV more often? Why didn't Joan Rivers ever ask you back on her show? You know, I could do any of those things. I can reforge matter with my left nut here, human, you know. But I just don't want to because I'm having a lot of fun hanging around in these crummy bars.
Tell me about the Joan Rivers show.
Well, the Joan Rivers experience was great. They offered to fly us to New York, and we poo-pooed that suggestion and flew into LaGuardia in our bat-shaped helicopter, throwing great urns of Grecian fire out the side and causing many casualties. We landed in a great nuclear explosion that took out half the city. They tried to pick us up in a limo. We picked up the limo and crushed the driver with it. Then we went right down to the studio, and I walked right in and immediately butt-fucked her right on the table. Killed her, unfortunately. Was forced to bring her back to life. She was all dusty inside, you know, kind of looked like, I don't know, the layers of plastic that had reformed her face over the years were peeling off. So I silly puttied them back on, and we put her on the show and kind of propped her up a little bit. And then a technician came out and pushed a button in the small of her back, and she began to speak in this high-pitched babble. So after, you know, after some of that was done, I chopped her head off on national TV, you know, and then not much blood came out. It was more like that scene in Alien when they chop the guy's head off and that milky android fluid goes everywhere. Yes, Joan Rivers is an android, and that was not shown on television.
I heard that was one of the highest-rated episodes that show's ever had.
Yeah, that would have been quite a shocker right there. But, you know, the government never tells you anything.
That's
true. That whole thing in Beirut, we were the house band, you know, for some time there. And finally, the U.S. Navy parked a battleship right off the shore and started shooting at me. But, you know, they told you it was a bunch of Muslims they were firing at. So it was really Guar. The Tiananmen Square thing, you know? The Bhopal... that was a big hit. That Bhopal thing, you know, where they said Union Carbide killed, you know, millions of people or whatever with that, you know, that was Flatus. Letting off one of those big, sulfurous, Flatus farts. Ugh. Yeah, and they're all lying to you, you know. George Bush is nothing but a biological construction that we made in the laboratory back in the dungeons of Antarctica, you know. Subtly manipulating the human race down the sine way to oblivion.
Do you ever take a shit and have it come to life?
Oh, God. You humans do not know it, but if you would only eat your own fecal matter, you would double in size.
Wow.
These things that you call toilets, they are not toilets. They are feeding machines, and the shit is funneled back to the Fortress of Guar, where we indulge in gigantic buffets of sculpted shit.
Hmm.
Yes, and I've had, you know, living things come out of my ass before. It's kind of like, you know, Hyde the hamster, except we use creatures from another planet.
Hey, before I let you go, can you do a station ID for my show?
If I can understand what the hell you're saying, then yes.
Okay.
And what is the station ID number? Do I have to do that as well? I'm getting used to doing these things, you know.
W-U-J-C?
W-U-J what?
W-U-J-C.
J-C?
And that's 88.7.
88.7.
That's it.
Okay, you ready?
Sure.
Human scum! I command you, in the name of Odorous Urungus, to listen to Metamorphosis W-U-G-C 88.7. Or I will do something very, very naughty.
Okay, you kind of got the name of the show wrong.
Oh, no, I said Metamorphosis. Metamorphosis.
That's it.
I got it.
You
now.
Got it.
Okay.
All right.
I was just testing you.
Okay, well, that was
I
good.
Knew what I was doing. I knew that I was saying something wrong, but it was all a test, an elaborate test, which you failed. All right, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Human scum. This is Odorous Urungus, lead singer of Guar, and I'm commanding you to listen to Metamorphosis on WUGC. Oh, shit. God damn. Wait a minute. I'm going to try it again, okay?
Okay.
Human scum. This is Odorous Urungus, lead singer of Guar, and I'm telling you, I am commanding you to listen to Metamorphosis WUGC 88.7, or I will do something extremely naughty.
Awesome.